Now, that is the truth. It is the Jim Rome Show, starring me, Jim Rome. You are looking at Southern California, Hollywood. If you're watching on CBS Sports Network, what's cracking? We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you want to buy a home or refinance your current home, Rocket can. What's going on? How are you? So how was your morning? Let me tell you really quickly what's going on here. I walked into the studio and I walked right into a camera. Fact. True story. Not like the first time I did it. Thank you, Alvin. Thank you very much. I lowered my shoulder a la Lamar Jackson. Yeah, you should have seen the other guy. I was like, dude, how is that shoulder? I'm like, much better in my head than when I walked into the camera that one time. You might ask yourself, hey, Rome, how do you walk into a camera? Is that camera not in the same place every single day? Well, yes and no. It is. It is. I wonder if TV got that. It is in the same place every single day when I start the program. But if you watch the program, we've got a couple of cameras in here that move on tracks. So they do move around. Watch this. Watch. There it is. Are you watching? Bam! It is so good. Yo, New York, I see you working. Well done. Bam! I mean, you got to be pretty stupid to walk into a camera. Luckily, it was only my shoulder, not my head. One day, prior to the pandemic, when the crew would come in and out of the studio, more than one of us had hit that thing. I was not the only one. Except the day that I hit it hard. Like, I could have gone into the protocol over that. Today was not the case. So it was just a slight ding. And they got it. All right. That's how my morning is going. How about yours? Telephone number is toll free. 1-800-636-8686. 1-800-636-8686. You can also hit me up on social media, always, at Jim Rome, R-O-M-E. And you can send me an email at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. The interviews are as follows. Coming up at 9:40, a guy that I've often said is probably my oldest friend in the business. My oldest friend or my longest relationship in the business. I've been interviewing this guy longer than anybody in the business since I got in. Eric Musselman is the head basketball coach at Arkansas. And I say that because Mus and I literally got in at about the same time. When I got my start in Santa Barbara, my first professional radio gig as a sports talk show host in Santa Barbara back in the day, he was one of the first guys I interviewed. We were both 23. So, E. Mus, Arkansas head basketball coach, 9:40. Coming up at 10:40, a senior NBA writer for The Athletic, Sam Amick. In hour number three, the head football coach at Pitt, Pat Narduzzi. Episode 198 of the Jim Rome Podcast is now live. Do me a favor. Don't look for it right now. Don't listen to it right now. But save it for after the program. We talk hockey. Sean Thornton and I. 14-year NHL vet. Two-time Stanley Cup champ. And one of the league's great enforcers. Speaking of which, man, I kicked the hell out of that camera. I beat its ass right there, man. All right, so let's get started. Hey, camera, don't make me come over there. You don't want any of this, camera. Hey, camera, tell me how my ass tastes. Pretty lame.
Tell me how my ass tastes.
Camera. All right, so it's been a rough week. Not just for me. It's been a rough week. In fact, it's been a rough month. For the Lakers and for Laker fan. LeBron is dinged. His movie sucked. The team's gotten off to a pretty crappy start. And they just found out that their arena is no longer going to be named after an office supply store. And to be honest, I'm not even sure which of those things hurts the worst. It might be the last one. Strangely enough, folks are pretty pissed about a building no longer being named after a place where you buy paper and ink cartridges. But before the Lakers return to the crypt, they've got a 5-game road trip that started last night in Milwaukee. And adding insult to all the injuries, the Lakers spent most of the first half just napping it out. Yeah, I know they turned it around in the second half, but man, there was some concerning bleep in the first half. Bleep like this.
Loses it to Drew Holiday. Here come the Bucks, 3-on-1. The one is Melo, and he can't stop Bobby Portis. And now Portis steals the inbounds pass. Gives it back to Drew Holiday. Holiday to Connaughton. Three-pointer. No good. Boy, that would have been a backbreaker for
Bobby,
the Lakers.
Bobby Portis gets the rebound, though.
Portis backing in. Uh-oh. Giannis down the middle. Kick it to Holiday. Three-pointer. No good. Rebound. Portis again. Puts it up and in. Four cracks at one possession. And the Bucks have their biggest lead, 9 points.
Lakers, nice, Alvy. Not one, not two, not three. Four cracks in one possession. My man, John Ireland on the call.
Hey, John.
Gotta love John Ireland going with an uh-oh. He's right. Listen, I understand that bleep happens. I get that bleep happens. But that bleep can't happen. Not if you're the Lakers. Not if you want anybody to take you seriously as a legitimate contender. I mean, great, Bron's not out there. But that's not the reason that just happened. Hell, I've got no idea how that just happened. But if that's how you're going to start that road trip, I can't wait to see how you finish that road trip. Now, again, it is November. It's not even Thanksgiving. I'm not going to roast the Lakers before I roast a turkey. Hell. What I'm not going to do, though, is go all hot take factory with it and say that Bron is washed and they shouldn't have tried to fix what wasn't broke and that it's going to be somebody's ass because that's what the product is. Ass. I'm not doing that because the only reason you do things like that is because you want people to look at you. So have a take, don't suck. Be real, not fake. I'm not going to make some stone cold declaration about the Lakers season without at least seeing old Bron step on the floor for more than a few minutes. But what I can say about the Lakers so far is this. They are who we thought they'd be without LeBron. And that's a pretty funky, clunky team that does not seem to fit together very well at all. And they've only shown flashes of improvement. Like, what I'm getting at is they haven't really proven anything, anybody wrong yet. If anything, they're proving the haters, the skeptics, the critics right. Like, just a quick check-in for you on the Lakers. And I'll get back to this notion of the crypt in a minute. People are taking that really badly, that it's no longer Staples, that it's now the crypt. I'll double back to that in a minute, because last night to me really wasn't about the Lakers and who they are or what they are or who they aren't or what they aren't. Like, if that's all you picked up on last night, you missed out on something pretty cool. I'm talking about the freak. The freak doing what he does best. Freak. Freak to the tune of 47 points, 9 boards, 3 assists, a block, a steal, 18 of 23 from the field, 8 of 11 from the line. Like, that's a reminder of who Giannis is. Steph Curry's been absolutely electric this season. The reigning MVP, the Joker, is better than he's ever been. But the other guy with two MVPs and now a championship ain't chopped liver, right? He's still hell if you're an opposing defense. This dude, Giannis, just kept attacking the rack over and over and over again, and there was nothing LA could do about it other than get the hell out of the way or get put on a freaking poster.
Here comes Antetokounmpo. Giannis with that crossover, put his shoulder into AD and expresses himself at the rim.
He put his shoulder into AD like I put my shoulder into that camera, and I expressed myself at the camera. Hey, camera. Tell me how my ass tastes. There was nothing LA could do about it last night because there's nothing anybody can do about Giannis. Just like there was nothing that camera could do about me putting my shoulder down. What I'm saying is this. There isn't a defense that Frank Vogel can call or design that's going to stop a 7-footer with that kind of strength, that kind of mobility, that kind of athleticism, that kind of power, that kind of body control, that kind of an understanding of the game. There's nothing you can do when a train has no brakes and it's coming right at you. Vogues should have gone on NHTSA with it at halftime, telling his guys, hey, shut up. Shut up. Listen to me. Stay off the bleeping tracks. Trains can't stop. He should have rolled up on the whiteboard and started drawing that whole thing up. Hey, AD, these are the tracks. This is you on the track. Here is the train. Here is the train that cannot stop even if it sees you, AD. And then it hits you and drags you and then you're dead. Get the hell off the tracks. Hey, Russ. Russ, click it or tick it. I mean, of course, there's a hell of a lot more to this locomotive, though, than him just running downhill. My man was also pulling up and hitting from deep.
In this high-scoring affair, 59-53, Giannis with a little get back. Butter! He looks over and says, "What'd you think was going to happen?"
Exactly. That's the problem with this guy, right? You can't stop him when he's up and down and running downhill. And if this guy is going to catch and shoot it and make it, you got a real problem.
You know, it's a great pass on time on target. Middleton kicks it out. One more to Portis. One more to Antetokounmpo in rhythm. Boy, that's the way you draw it up. Yeah.
All right, so if this guy's in attack mode and he's getting to the rack and he's hitting those bombs from deep, there really is not a damn thing you can do about it except shake your damn head as it's happening, then shake his damn hand when it's over, because dude is still a damn cheat code. And as long as he's playing like that, the Bucks will be playing into late June once again. Yeah, now I know overall they have not looked the part so far. Part of that, I think, is championship hangover. Part of that is the fact that they lost 5 out of 8 when Chris Middleton was out with COVID. But again, as long as Giannis still has that in him and he's doing what he did last night, they're going to be a factor. The bigger concern is that at some point, and we don't need to worry about this just yet, but at some point he might be doing it somewhere else. Not to start anything, Bucks fan, but how can you not wonder after seeing the comments that dropped to GQ earlier in the week? And I quote, this is Giannis, quote, "One challenge was to bring a championship here, and we did. It was very hard, but we did. Very, very hard. I just love challenges. What's the next challenge? The next challenge might not be here." End of quote. Wait, what? Uh-oh! Did he just say the next challenge might not be here? All right, he must have then qualified it, right? He must have then explained it, right? He must have walked it right back, right? Nope. He chased it with this, quote, "Me and my family chose to stay in this city that we all love and has taken care of us for now. In 2 years, that might change. I'm being totally honest with you. I'm always honest." End of quote. Again, uh-oh. Man, sometimes honesty is not the best policy. Sometimes I'd rather you just lie to me and say, "I love it here, man. I'm never leaving."
You're a liar.
Listen, that all sounded pretty good, right? Right up until the "for now." Like he just threw one down on all of Bucks Nation's head. Just as this dude is reaching a new level to his already insane game, he's openly talking about maybe taking his talents someplace else. Like, if you stop right there and you consider that the article was accompanied by a photo shoot of Giannis on the sand by the water, and it sure didn't look like Lake Michigan, I understand why you might be a little bit concerned, Bucks fan. I get why you might be thinking, well, he got himself a ring. That's all we can ask for, and he's probably going to leave us, especially when he told GQ that winters in Milwaukee are, quote, "cold as bleep." Again, Bucks fan, There is one thing he said that might give you some hope. Quote, "I love this city. I love this community. I want to help as much as possible." I think that's all true. In fact, I know it is. He does love the city. He does love the community. He did commit to staying longer. He did win you a championship. I just don't know what's going to come next for this guy. I don't know how long he'll be there. My advice to you, Wisco, enjoy it while it lasts. Enjoy it while it lasts, because you got to know nothing lasts forever. And you'll never get another dude like this to play for you ever again. That's not a Milwaukee thing. That's not a Wisconsin thing. That's a Giannis thing. You'll never get another guy like that ever again, because another guy like that does not exist. So as long as that guy is giving you everything he's got while he's there, just enjoy him as long as he's there. Because remember, the old gunslinger did not end his career with the Packers. Hell, Aaron Rodgers is not going to end his career with the Packers. Pretty safe to assume Giannis is not going to end his career with the Bucks. Enjoy it while you have it. Yes, it hurts me to say it, but you know I got your back. And even worse, you know what I'm saying is true. Quickly, back to you, Laker fan. I know you're concerned, Laker fan, but it could be worse. It could always be worse. It could be so much worse, Laker fan. I mean, have you seen Space Jam 2? Oh, And if the plan was to bring in Westbrook when LeBron is, quote, load managing, that plan's not working. Take everything I said about the Warriors yesterday, the fact that they play team ball, they play with energy, they play hard on defense. Take all of that, reverse all of that, and then you have the Lakers right now. It is early. It is early, but my memo to Rob Lowe, back to the drawing board. Crypt. You know, crypto.com must have ponied up so much, Jack, to get those naming rights. Staples was probably like, wait, how much to renew? How much? Do you have any idea how many reams of multi-use copy paper we need to sell to cover that? Do you have any idea how many desk pad calendars we're going to have to move to cover that? 10 packs of foldable files, boxes with tops. I'm talking boxes of G2 Pilot Premium Gel Roller Black ink pens. Hey, by the way, best pen ever made. The only pen that I will ever use, FYI. You could take your Bix someplace else. Not in this studio. Packs of 3x3 yellow post-it notes. How many dozens of 8.5x11 wide ruled notepads are we going to have to move to cover that? Black ink toners. Hey, by the way, you want naming rights? You want to cover your naming rights? Probably you only have to sell 4 black ink toners. Those things are valued more than gold bricks. I had to make a choice. Get more ink for my printer or put my kid through college. It was hard. 1-800-636-8686. There's a monster Laker Buck opening block for you. Hey, Bucks fan, I'm not saying it's going to happen tomorrow, but Giannis, man. Giannis was definitely keeping it real with GQ. And he looked awesome last night. In addition to that, other things I want to get to. I want to talk Jets football yet again. Honestly, I do. And why is that? Because Joe Flacco apparently is going to start. Hey, I love Joe Flacco as much as the next guy. I would love to see Joe Flacco start as much as the next guy. What the hell are they starting this guy for? For who? For what? Why are you doing that? I think that's the wrong call. Spoiler alert. Bad decision. I would not be starting Flacco. I want to get into all that. In addition to that, there is something positive in the NBA that I want to hit on. Now, you know this is a big, big UD house. Love the UD. Udonis. He got some minutes last night now. I like the way Spo is using him. And by using him, I mean using him. Not waiting until the last game of the year and letting this guy go out there for 3 minutes. Spo is getting Udonis Haslem out there and getting him minutes. And good things are happening. And I love it. I've got thoughts on that. I do want to try to get to a preview of episode 198 of the Jim Rome podcast because Sean Thornton, I thought, showed up in a really good way. And anytime I can mix any hockey into this program, I'm going to do that. All of that is still ahead. Hey, how about this? How about you rise up and shock me with a telephone call? A telephone call that gets on the air and makes the show better. I'm getting lots of telephone calls every single day, but not very many are getting on the air. You have to play your way in. You've got to make it better. 1-800-636-8686. Eric Musselman is coming up in 20 minutes. Holidays are here, and so is fashionable fitness. Gift yourself a Samsung Galaxy Z Flip 3 5G. It's a phone that folds in half to literally stand on its own. Then you pair it with the Galaxy Watch 4 for ultimate wellness and wow factor. You can check health stats. You can flex personal records. There are over 90 activities that can be tracked. Biking, swimming, golfing, and more. So invest in yourself with tech made to crush goals. Holidays open up with Galaxy. Shop it all right now at Samsung.com. 5G connection and availability may vary. Check with carrier. Products are sold separately.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, right, welcome back. Because the opening block was so long, I did not get any of the reaction in so very quickly. Let me get you involved here. Now, again, the way I really want to get you involved is with a telephone call. I know I'm going to get some tweets in here. I know I'll get some email in here. I want to get a phone call or two up. So just step it up. 1-800-636-8686. Hitman Canadian, first up. I'm fine, Jim. I'm just thankful that Big Head's dome did not crash into me. The studio camera.
Winthrop.
The only head that's been crashing into that camera potentially is mine, because since the pandemic, we socially distance. Nobody comes in the studio. The only time somebody enters the studio is Alvy once a week when he wraps up on the big plastic tower of beef. And Cindy the stylist will come in and apply some man cake on occasion. So really, nobody is at risk other than Cindy, and she's too smart for it, to hit that camera. Just me. But even I had not done it in a couple of years. And then Hitman Canadian tried to follow that up by doubling down and saying, quote, "Nothing wrong with bumping into a camera," signed Porn Stars. All right, bro, now you're done.
Now I'm done.
Now you're done. You can go ahead and take the rest of the day off. In fact, you know what, bro? If it's not too much to ask, take the rest of the week off. In fact, you know what? Take the holiday off. I'll see you in December. December of 22. Brah. Daniel, quote, "Hey, camera. I know how you feel, brah." Signed, brah. Jano's car. That's fair. I did smash into that as well. But at least it happened on my property and nobody else was hurt. Romy, an arena being named after an office supply company is very timely. Regards, Blockbuster Video membership cards, AOL free trial discs,
You got mail.
BMG music subscriptions, and Sharper Image massage chairs. Geoff and Lincoln. At Lanier Messenger, my favorite handle still. Quote, "Even we think Staples Ink Ribbon is a good price. Sincerely, Lanier Messenger product." Yeah, I can't imagine why I couldn't sell a $2,500 answering machine back in the day. $2,500 then is probably worth $10,000 right now. Is there anybody anywhere who'd pay 10 gur for an answering machine? You got to like the way, too, that I'm not owning this at all. That I've got no accountability for it. Hey, man, that was definitely the product. That wasn't the sales rep. That was the product. Because nobody needs a $2,500 four-disc micro-cassette answering machine that spins around and revolves. It's like the stupidest invention ever. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. Not that I was the worst salesperson ever, but that was the stupidest product ever and the most overpriced product ever. I can, like, vaguely remember the pitch. Like, all right, so cassette number one is for the CEO. Cassette number two is for the CEO's secretary. Cassette number three is for what? It's an answering machine. Look it up. Google it. The Harris Lanier Messenger. The reason I'm looking at you and speaking to you pretty much is because of the Harris Lanier Messenger. I did not make any money. My man Arnold Palmer did. He was the spokesman. They used to send us out in the field too with, "Hey man, Arnie, he's got your back. Arnie is our celebrity spokesperson," which was a good thing, man. There was no more believable brand than Arnie, and there was no less believable salesperson than Rome. Can I tell you how many office buildings I got kicked out of trying to sell that $2,500 answering machine? Believe me, with what they were asking for that answering machine, they could have gotten the naming rights to Staples. The Lanier Messenger. Let's go to the Lanier Messenger. Lakers, Bucks. Let's go to the LM. Anyway, this dude just ripped it as a handle, which is funny to me. Justin in Melbourne, at Lanier Messenger. Dude, I don't know, man. We may have to swap that out. I may have to swap out at Jim Rome for at Lanier Messenger. Might not be good for my brand, but it's funny as hell. Hey, Rome, I thought that AD looked super strong against Giannis. Signed, my wife versus the lid on a new jar of salsa.
AD, what's good, baby?
Hey, wife, what's good, baby? How you doing with that jar of salsa? Nostradamus Russ tweets, hey, Jim, just want to be on record with our disappointment of losing out on the Giannis lottery before the Giannis lottery is even a thing. Regards, Knicks fan. Yeah, I don't know, man. Back not that long ago, that would have been funny and easy to say. They're trending up. Stucknut wants in. He must. Goes way back. Psst, please. Psst. Sign Bud Black. Please.
Jim, thank you, man. You and I go way back to interviews at San Diego State in the late 70s. Man, I'm pumped for where you are right now. It's always great to catch up.
Buddy Black. God, I love Bud. Buddy Black's the best guy. Buddy Black is one of my favorite people. One of the great baseball men of all time. Except that's not accurate. He and I do go way back, but not as far back as the late 70s. Because in the late 70s, I was at Arthur E. Wright Middle School. Being awkward as hell.
Awkward.
So we don't go that far back. We go way back, but not that far back. All right, but I do go way back with E. Muss. So let me take a short time out. Eric Musselman, man, one of the all-time great reinvention stories. I love Muss. What a great coach he is. And he's working his magic again. The thing that makes Eric Musselman so amazing is his ability to innovate, reinvent himself, evolve. And he's smart as hell and he grinds. And he just wins. Man, he just wins. E. Muss is coming up next. Right now, though, I am on the clock. I am on time. And it is time for your first update. Here it is.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
I am Jim Rome. I am live. I am in Southern California. We are rolling right through hour number one. And I do have an open telephone number or line for you, 1-800-636-8686. Let's talk some college ball. We're joined right now by the head basketball coach at Arkansas, already in his third season with the Razorbacks. He led Arkansas to the Elite Eight last season. They're 3-0, and they're number 15 in the coaches' poll right now. Arkansas is at Kansas State Monday night. Good friend of mine, good friend of the program. He is Eric Musselman, E. Muss. What's going on, Eric? How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks so much for having me on.
Dude, bring me up to date. So it's been a few months since you and I last spoke. How are you doing? How's the fam? And how does it feel to have the season underway?
Well, fam's doing good. Family's good. We're three games in. We're still trying to figure out who our team is, which many teams are across college basketball, Jim, with the landscape changing, with so many roster moves. I think you've seen a lot of upsets already this year. There's a lot more parity, especially early in the season, more so than any college basketball season that I've seen or been a part of. So a lot of teams trying to figure out their identity, trying to figure out who they become, strengths and weaknesses. And you kind of do it on the fly. I mean, college basketball with only allowing two secret scrimmages or two exhibition games, and then you roll right into the regular season. It's like an NBA team with their five exhibition games. We're three games in, and it kind of feels like, you know, you're still trying to figure out, like an NBA team would in their exhibition season, what rotations are and so on and so forth.
I think that's really well said, and I think that's all fair. Eric Musselman's joining us. And to your point, Eric, about the landscape changing so much, like last season when it ended, it was clear that you were going to lose six of your top eight scorers from last year's Elite Eight team. I'm not sure there's anybody in college basketball who does a better job of managing their roster, but even for you, I could see where that might be something that might be a concern. However, you seem to really embrace it. What was your thought coming into this season about rebuilding on the fly and replacing those players?
Yeah, I think, JR, when you a minor league background of constantly changing rosters, you kind of got to try to envision as much as you can. And, you know, we've had two when you look at your roster, we basically look from year to year And even when you do that, you know, there can be some things that happen. For instance, you know, Moses Moody, we knew that he was a lottery-type talent. We didn't know if it would be after year one or year two. He had a great year. And so once the high school class was already gone and Moses, you know, played so well in December and January and became a lottery pick, you know, you can't really plan for that. You can envision and think what could happen, but you're wondering, is it going to be after one or is it after two? So that happens after one. The year before, it was Isaiah Joe had made an announcement that he was pulling out of the NBA draft. And then there was a new rule because of COVID and the draft had been pushed back, where he actually then at the last hour decided to go back to the NBA. It worked out for him when he's still with Philly. He was a second round draft pick. Well, the transfer market that year was already dried up. So you've really got to try to plan ahead. You've got to try to get the right transfers. And you've got to try to build throughout the summer. You know, we're only allowed 4 hours in the summer, Jim, and you want to do a lot of skill development, player development, but you also have to do a lot of team building off the floor and then get your chemistry right on the floor because, again, it's not just at one particular school. A lot of programs now, mid-majors, low majors, high majors, their rosters are constantly fluctuating. Mid-majors and low majors are losing players to high major players that aren't getting their minutes at a power five are transferring down. And so evaluation becomes really, really important when you're doing a year by year roster.
He must joining us on the program. If I have time, Mus, I'm going to double back and ask you about Moses Moody as a follow. But you were at the forefront of maximizing transfers, and now a lot of other programs are doing this. So now do you feel like maybe you have to zig when everybody else is zagging? And is their value no longer as clear in the transfer market as it was?
There's no doubt, Jim. It's interesting because, you know, I've only been at Arkansas. This is going into year three. At Nevada, through 4 years, we pretty much got the pick of who we wanted in the transfer market. You know, we were getting high major guys, Kendall Stevens from Purdue, Cody and Caleb Martin, who are still in the NBA from North Carolina State, Hallis Cook from Iowa State. So we had a lot of high major guys going to Nevada as transfers because we had very little competition. And quite frankly, I thought it made a heck of a lot more sense to recruit somebody for 2 weeks instead of 2 years. Because what happens with the high school market, you have assistant coaches celebrating when you're in the top seven. Well, it really only matters if you get the guy. And so from a time resource standpoint, I thought the transfer market made a ton of sense. Well, what ended up happening, once I got to Arkansas, you're in the SEC, you're playing other Power Fives, you're playing SEC. I thought there was a lot of mistakes in the transfer market. And there was a lot of guys that were mid-major players playing in the SEC. And so what we tried to do in year one, we had four really, really good freshmen, Moses being a part of that. And then, you know, Jalen Williams started for us and Devo Davis started for us last year. So we started three freshmen last year. And then, because the signing period just happened, we actually have five incoming freshmen next year, which is a lot because we felt like the transfer market oversaturated, high school market under-recruited. And so, yes, we have changed our philosophy. Two of the 3 years at Arkansas, we've gone heavy, heavy into that high school market.
Eric Musselman is joining us. Mus, I was going to go there next, and you led me right to it. I was going to say you are killing it on the recruiting front as well. Your latest class was ranked number two by multiple outlets, so you just laid out why. But why was it so critical to, or how critical is it to keep some of the elite players in the state and then build from there, build from that?
Well, yeah, I think that's Jim, with any job, I think you've got to dig into the history. It could be doesn't even need to be athletics. It could be just a company that has success. You've got to look back. Arkansas basketball's had great success, you know, and you go all the way back to Sidney Moncrief, Marvin Delft, and Ron Brewer Sr., three in-state players that were incredible for this program. You look at Bobby Portis, and so they've had great in-state players, Daniel Gafford. And so it's really important that you recruit really hard. And that's what we did with the four players that were freshmen last year. They were all four in-state guys. And Moses kind of spearheaded it. He kind of led that group. They kind of all were waiting on one another. And then this year it was really, really important for us to, you know, Nick Smith is a top seven player in the country. And so it was important for us to try to recruit him, land him. And then we got another top 10 player in Jordan Walsh, who's from Dallas, Texas. And then some other in-state players that were important to us as well. So you do have to look at the history of your program or your organization or your company or whatever and find out how do you have success. And certainly at Arkansas, on the years that you do have high-level talent, you've got to do everything you can to recruit and make sure they have the same vision that aligns with you, and then you got to try to land them.
Eric Musselman is the head basketball coach at Arkansas. Mus, let me just take a step back for a minute. Like, and I always say this before you come on and then after you leave, that you and I go way back, that of all the people I've interviewed over the course of my career, you are the person that I go further back with anybody. And then I've got this side hustle to my side hustle called the Reinvention Project, because you and I are the same age. I've talked to you, Eric, thousands of times. You, to me, sound as dialed in, as locked in, as sharp as you ever have. I'm curious, is this the way it feels to you? Do you feel like literally, and you're a two-time NBA head coach, you've had a lot of success in a lot of places, do you feel like your very best is still in front of you and not behind you? And if so, how have you maintained that edge?
I don't think there's any doubt, Jim, because you know, I'm fired up to work every single day. You know, it's just interesting because, like, we come in, we were meeting before I jumped on with you about, how, you know, what are we going to do creative today? What are we going to do different? How do we improve our defense? Let's call the University of Wyoming today because they do a great job defending the three. And right now, we're one of the worst teams in the nation in the history of basketball defending the three. So how do we get an edge and get better? Those are some of the things we talk about. You know, I just, that word reinvent, I think, is so important, not only career wise, but, you know, also, you know, individually, like, how do you continue to evolve? How do you continue to get better? I never thought for a minute, Jim, that I would be so heavily involved in social media. I mean, 10 years ago or 15 years ago, I was labeled as old school, a coach's coach. You know, now there's probably a lot of young coaches that are sitting there laughing, thinking, does this guy even know X and O's? He's so into social media. Well, I'm into social media to try to sell out our building, which we have 20,000. And then I'm trying to, my audience is high school kids. And so if your audience is high school kids, how do you reach them to the best of your ability? And so we are constantly evolving and trying to reinvent, trying to become better.
I love it. Eric Musselman joining us. So how much of that, Eric, goes to what seems to me, I'm on the outside looking in, but your shoe game is on point right about now. I'm curious, is that a conscious move? Is that your better half advising you? Do you have a guy? You know, that whole look good, get paid good, you got to reach kids. Where are you getting your style inspiration from now?
Well, I can tell you there's two people involved. One is Michael Musselman, my son, who's on staff and is a heck of a lot younger than me, obviously, in his 20s. And my wife, certainly from a stylistic standpoint, would know a lot more than me. But again, Jim, it comes down to, you know, my audience or our audience. And so, you know, last night I wore a pair of shoes that had all of our signees for the class that's coming up, and it'll be incoming freshmen next year. I had their names on the shoes, and you know, I got stuff coming for, we're going to Kansas City for a tournament, so I'll have that tournament's logo on some shoes, and some really cool stuff that we're putting together to try to have a different pair of shoe almost every game. And I've never done it before. You know, I'm going to be 57 coming up here in a few days, and still trying to figure out how do we stay ahead of all of our competitors. And, you know, last year it was reincarnating NBA pictures where I put on a uniform with a recruit. We picked a favorite picture that those guys had liked, meaning the recruit. So I think it's always, hey, how do you have fun? How do you evolve? How do you stay ahead of all other 300-plus universities?
Eric, really quickly, so you and I, for so many years, have talked about your dad. Now I've got about 90 seconds. What about Michael? Like, what's the dynamic like between you and him? Did you want him to get experience someplace else, or were you eager to get him on your staff as quickly as possible?
Yeah, I think, Jim, just because of, you know, I was a single dad with Michael and his brother Matthew, and so certainly lost time when you go through a divorce. We all know as coaches we lose time. So I selfishly definitely wanted him here. I did tell him, you know, hey, I'll call Coach Thibodeau or some of the NBA people that I know, Scotty Brooks, see if you want to go start in the film room. He made the decision to join us, continue his education at Nevada. Now he's worked into a full-time recruiting position, done an incredible job. So you know better than anybody, Jim, having children, the importance of trying to hang out with them as long as you can. But certainly there's going to come a time when he's ready to do it on his own. But I'm going to cherish every day I can walk in and say hello to my son while I'm working and competing against high-level SEC programs.
My guy, Emus, Arkansas 3-0, number 15 in the coaches' poll. They're at Kansas State on Monday night. Very good friend of mine on the program. Mush, you are the best. Great to have you back, Eric. Thanks so much. Let's do it again soon. Eric Musselman. Love Mus. Such a good conversation. Stay tuned. Hour number two, straight ahead.